Alright, listeners, this is the Grey Goose, and you're listening to 91.5 WGLZ. We have our very special guest with us here on the line today. He's a musician, he's a tropical rock artist, and you've heard many of his songs on WGLZ. We have Mr. Mac Meadows with us today. Mac, how are you?
Hello, Walter, I'm terrific. How are you?
I am doing great. I'd like a little bit better weather, but overall, not bad.
Spring is finally coming for you. I just know it is.
We're hoping so. We got a lot of rain, so we got those April showers. A little early, but not too bad.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I have to make you a little bit jealous. I have my parents are visiting this week, and we've been out on the boat the last couple of days. And my dad and I were just out on, I have a little 20-foot shamrock, and we were plying the inland waterways this morning. Mm-hmm. And just going through, seeing what we could see, and we're having kind of a blow right now. We got a lot of wind, so the sea is out offshore about between 6 and 8 feet. But on the bay side, it's beautiful. So we went to a couple restaurants and had a few drinks, and a beautiful day today.
Wonderful. Well, now after that weather, we're going to just delve right into this now. You're a musician, so how old were you when you first started to play an instrument or sing or any of the above about music?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. You know, I first started playing clarinet in the my little junior high school band, and about 15, 16 years old, my dad got me an acoustic guitar, and I could not put it down. Mm-hmm. I think once I got a hold of that, it was so fascinating, and I almost didn't want to go back to school after that. That's all I wanted to do was play guitar.
Hey, there you go. Once you find something you like, you gotta stick with it.
That's exactly right. You know, I've taught many years too, mm-hmm. and I guess that's the best advice I can give to any of my students that I've had is that. To get really good at your instrument, it's an obsession that even borders on a little bit the unhealthy, but it's something, if you do it enough, you do get better at it, that's for darn sure. But yeah, it's a healthy obsession, let's call it that.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of instrument myself. I took piano lessons for about almost 3 years. And I enjoyed it. Music's a wonderful thing to be able to make with your own hands, but it just wasn't anything I was able to follow on through, you know?
You know, and piano, too, that is kind of the mother of all instruments. The piano is laid out in such a way that you can see the intervals, you can see the notes, and that's a great instrument to start on and then branch out from there. So you're on the right track. Me, I'm allergic to piano. I didn't I didn't do quite as well as piano.
I've always wanted to try the banjo. Since I am in the West Virginia area, the banjo is the unofficial native instrument, a lot of the stereotypes say. So I've always wanted to learn that banjo.
Banjo's terrific. I was very fortunate. I got it's fairly closely related to guitar in a way. Mm-hmm. But I was hired to do a gig in Daytona Beach many years ago to play Anything Goes. It was a musical theater show, and they needed a banjo for that. And I had like 3 days to do a crash course on banjo, so I just tuned it like the last four strings of a guitar and was able to do it from there. So I cheated.
Hey, if it works, it works. Now,
heck yeah.
Now, did you study music? Like, did you take a lot of lessons, or were you self-taught?
Well, initially I was fairly self-taught, but yeah, the lessons, I did take several private lessons early on with guitar, and I tell you, when you can benefit from someone else's experience, that's definitely the way to go. And I went on after that. I earned a degree in music from Stetson University in DeLand, Florida. That's up in Central Florida. Mm-hmm. And I have was able to learn classical guitar and finger picking and that way. So, but yeah, especially the music theory and everything. It's very challenging, I got to say, but it's really worthwhile. You want to really delve into it and understand how things work. It helps a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to have the background on how it works helps you understand what you're doing, because once you know how it gets to that point, now you realize there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, you can manipulate it a little bit, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many little tweaks and things you can do to make it sound like it's a whole new sound when all you're doing is just changing an inch of your finger position.
That's it. Yeah, it's funny, especially in guitar, it lends itself to that. You play a chord and you just, you know, you experiment, pick up a finger, put a finger in a different spot, and you get all these different things. And I guess really the benefit of theory, you're able to attach a name to that, you know, like an augmented or an add 9 or a 6 or a 13 or whatever. But yeah, it's just those beautiful sounds you get when you pick a finger up or put it down. It's just, yeah, you experiment and play with it. And that really is it, is playing, you know. It's fun to just play with it and mess it up and straighten it out again. It's cool.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier that you give lessons. How did you first start about giving guitar lessons?
Oh, my gosh. I have to say, that's my wife. You know, I got my degree in guitar, and then immediately, this was many years ago, I immediately went and did other things completely unrelated to music for many years, and my wife, we got married, and years went by, and she finally got tired of me saying, you know, I really should be doing something. So she's the one that really got me to say, hey, you know, do something with this, will you? So, and I, you know, for the longest time, you're your own worst enemy. So I finally figured out that I do have something to offer someone else, you know, and I was very blessed. We've lived up in Vero Beach, Florida, which is Treasure Coast of the Atlantic coast of Central Florida,
mm-hmm.
For many years, and I taught for I guess about 8 years there, and we raised our boys in that little town, and I was so blessed to have just, gosh, dozens upon dozens of these wonderful people that wanted to or hungry to learn guitar, and I had something to offer to them. It was so cool, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the neatest thing. So you never know. You know, you think, oh, I don't know anything. But no, you really do. There's someone that's going to benefit from something that you do. And I just think that's quite a blessing. So.
Most certainly. Now, you mentioned that you did some stuff outside of guitar and album music. What all did that consist of?
Oh, gosh. Right out the bat, I was... oh, man, you name it, I did it. I was a custom picture framer. I was mainly retail management.
Okay.
I ran some crafts and stuff stores across the Southeast. I ran several music stores, CD and tape stores, this company called Music for a Song.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be a CD and tape retailer in outlet malls. I ran several of those throughout the Southeast.
Mm.
And my wife and I ran an aquatic plant nursery. We grew water lilies and shipped them all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Until the 2004 hurricanes, they blew that up. So,
yeah, not good at all.
Yeah, these storms have a way of making you regroup. I built airplanes for Piper Aircraft Company has their company in Vero Beach, Florida. I did that for a few years, and
mm-hmm.
after that, the music thing took over, and I've been either teaching or playing ever since. So.
Well, wonderful. Now, how many shows do you typically play over the course of a year?
Oh, my gosh, a bunch. right now, I'm running six gigs to seven gigs per week. So it's a lot. So I'm not teaching at all right now. Since moving to Key Largo, this is a tough market to get into. Also, I was very fortunate to get into my first gig at a place called Snooks Bayside,
mm-hmm.
and it was all because the gentleman that hired me had happened to see one of my YouTube teaching videos.
Hey, there you go. Exposure is exposure.
I know, it was crazy because everywhere he goes, oh, we're set. There is a wonderful community of just amazing musicians that plays all throughout the Keys. And it's challenging to get in there. And I was very, very lucky to get my foot in the door. And then it just snowballed and freight trained from there. So now I'm playing all sorts of places. I typically, it's mostly just in Key Largo.
Mm.
You get down to the lower Keys, and it's like you're in another country, just from here to, say, Marathon, and then from Marathon to Key West. It's a long ways from here, man. So I I keep writing this section right here in Key Largo and make a nice little living and able to, my sons and my wife, they eat. It's good.
That's good.
All good. Yes, all good.
Now, you've done music for many years. How has the industry changed for you since you first started up until today?
Huh. Not a lot, really.
Hmm.
Not a whole lot. It's still, gosh, but I don't know. It's the same game, really, you know. As far as repertoire and as far as trying to get, you know, playing these restaurants and stuff. I got to say that it's different here in Key Largo.
Mm-hmm.
That you get a lot of, you know, there's a lot of tourists here, but there's a lot of locals here, too. And we have a friend of mine and I play a lot of these gigs together. It's Stephen Shaheen. He's a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made this duo. We call ourselves the Freddies. It's a long story. But anyway, we're developing an interesting local following here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that love to go to the different places and hear music and have drinks and have fun with their friends. And we've been experiencing that a lot, and it's neat to see these faces that follow us around, and they apparently like what they hear. It's just, I'm so blessed and amazed that they keep showing up to hear us, so it's terrific.
Absolutely, and we've played a lot of your music up here. One of the reasons why we like it up here is because it's light and bouncy, and when you're in doom and gloom of winter in West Virginia, you need that light, bouncy, have-fun music, and that's something you're able to provide.
Oh, I'm so glad you like the music. Yeah, the CDs were a lot of fun to do. I have a friend of mine that I went to high school with, Mike Futner. He's the guy that I collaborated with mostly on these CDs. He's the engineer
mm-hmm.
that made those things sound so good. It's a real collaborative work of a lot of people that made put all that stuff together, and it sounds so good. I get to put my name on it, you know, but it's a it's a lot of people, and I'm just so glad you like the music, because I sure enjoy I enjoyed putting it together, and I enjoy playing them out here. So,
absolutely. Now, how many albums have you put out?
With my friend Mike, I've done two.
Okay.
First one is Carry Me Home,
mm-hmm.
and then the new one, Someone's Got to Do It.
Okay. Very nice. Now, what sort of advice would you have for a young person who's looking to go into music, whether it be on the recording side or the performing side?
Oh, man. Do it all you can. I have had some friends that were trying to get into it, and, you know, there's a couple that wanted to do it but didn't, you know, they're kind of shy about getting out there. Well, my advice is to don't be shy.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and just go for it. Just do it. As far as getting good and getting better and stuff, I don't know, you just do it all the time. It's like you have to really love it to do it as much as you have to do it in order to get better at it. So that's back to that obsession thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be kind of obsessed with it to have some success with it, I think.
Absolutely. That is wonderful advice. Now, growing up, who were some of the musicians that inspired you? Did you have a couple of favorites growing up?
Oh, heck yeah. When I was a kid, back in when dinosaurs roamed the earth, Hee-Haw was on.
Ooh.
And Roy Clark, man, Roy Clark was the bomb.
Ooh.
He was the entertaining, and he could play, and that was my first method book. It's called the Roy Clark Big Note Guitar Songbook. I'll never forget. But, you know, it's funny, too, that it was because I was taking high school band that I had learned to read music.
Hmm.
So it's easy, once you learn to what the notes and stuff on the staff mean, it's easy to translate that to your guitar. And that's what those method books teach you, is how to read notes. And that's real good skill to know, is how to read. It opens new doors for you. So that's another important thing, I think.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that you had learned how to read music in high school. A lot of the high schools now are tending to cut the music budget and the fine arts budgets and all these first. How important is having that exposure to art at a young age to these young minds growing up? How important is that?
It's extremely important. You can't, I don't know why people want to underestimate how important the arts is to you as a person and as it's everything. You can argue that music in a way is math, you know, and ratios and how to understand pitches and stuff. And but not that, it's just the way it's the deeper stuff. It's the appreciation of a sound that makes you feel something. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear a powerful piece of music that makes you feel a specific emotion or something, and it's that appreciation of an art, like and looking at a painting that makes you feel something, and that's part of our humanity. So yeah, that's real important, the arts. Yeah, so I can never overestimate how important that is to, especially to young people growing up.
Absolutely. And the area that I'm in, it's been one of those harder hit areas because we're not exactly the most urban area in the world. We're like an hour from Pittsburgh and all these other bigger cities. But that's one of the major things that we don't really influence as much around here anymore. We do have a symphony, though, the Wheeling Symphony. It's been around 90 years almost. So that's one of our main influences that we have for young people growing up, is that they're able to see that and get that exposure to that culture.
Oh, absolutely. Pittsburgh, yeah, I'm very aware of your symphony orchestra. In fact, I was a kid growing up in North Carolina, and I got to see the North Carolina Symphony when I was a kid. It blew me away. They had elementary schools from all over the state come attend this concert, and they did also Sprach Zarathustra by Strauss, which is the 2001 Space Odyssey theme.
Mm-hmm.
It just, oh my gosh, I was moved to tears. It was the most music, you know, you hear it on a radio or you hear it on a record, but then you hear the real thing right in front of you. This group of musicians playing this powerful music, it blew me away. It was so beautiful, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the ones that did it for me, the symphony did this past year, the music of John Williams. Oh my goodness. Unbelievable.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I'm a Star Wars nerd, man. I am.
I'm a Superman guy, so they did the Superman thing, and I almost lost my mind. It was so wonderful.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great.
Now we're almost done, but I just got a couple other things I'm going to bring up real quick. Now,
sure.
Now, you do a lot of music. What's the creative process like for you? Do you have, like, a set of lyrics in your mind, or do you start with the music itself, or how does it work for you?
That's a great question. It happens all sorts of different ways. It's mostly when I'm not looking for it that I get some inspiration. Because you can sit there and like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write a song. You get your pen and paper, and you sit and you think. And then I jot ideas out. Yeah, but I don't know. It's something you have to kind of, you know, I've done a lot of reading on this subject, and I've got this great book my wife got for me, different famous songwriters' processes, like Paul Simon or... tons of different songwriters, Randy Newman, you know, it's all about what was their inspiration. And it really is, they're like a conduit. You know, it's you're just something that flows through you. So I guess my advice is really just to be ready all the time, because you never know when you get an idea that's good. And my problem was always, I get an idea, I think, oh, that sucks, or no, that's no good. Well, no, you write it down anyway, because you never know. And I'm not a very good judge of what's good and what's bad. You just write everything down and take it from there. So think of yourself as like a conduit, and inspiration can strike at any moment. So just be ready all the time.
Wonderful. Now, what do you think your future holds for you? Where do you see yourself in, let's say, 10 years down the road?
Well, when I think about it, I didn't see myself what I'm doing now 10 years ago. So that's a good question. I I'm more of a type of person that I just keep showing up, and and these opportunities tend to present themselves. It's an amazing thing. So, but yeah, I just keep following what I think is the best route to go. And yeah, in 10 years, gosh, if I'm still doing this, I would be blessed. It would be wonderful.
Well, that is wonderful. Now, now as we get ready to wrap up, is there anything else you'd like, or what would you like to tell our listeners today? You got anything else left to say?
Well, just thank you so much for listening to my music, and I am so blessed that people like it, and it still blows me away that you're playing it. I really, really enjoy that you're playing it. And just know that it's not just me. It's a whole bunch of wonderful, very talented people that help put all that stuff together. And it's terrific. But thank you.
Wonderful. I'm going to have you stay on the line. But thank you so much for joining us here today, Mac. And I hope your show goes great tonight.
Thanks, Walter. I appreciate it, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
All right, listeners. That was Mac Meadows. We are now going to do a 6 block of Mac Meadows songs. We have Island Bound Party Flight, Roll On Mississippi, Tennessee Moon, Smiling in the Islands, She Used to Love Me a Lot, and Too Many Hands on My Time, here on the Hilltop's hit music station, 91.5 WGLZ.